And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Susan Dench, and she's the author of Connetworking, the Savvy Women's Guide to Turning Small Talk into Big Business. She is a veteran marketeer, training and development professional, writer, and master of the art of conversation. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, David.
Hey, you know, and I'm glad to have you back. You know, we're talking today about your new book, Connetworking. It's an interesting term, C-O-N-N-E-C-T-W-O-R-K-I-N-G. No spaces in there, ladies and gentlemen. The Savvy Women's Guide to Turning Small Talk into Big Businesses. Susan, tell me a little about your book.
Well, I think Connetworking is really a combination of networking and connecting. And I think, networking is really old thing, but what we're doing now is taking it up to a whole new level and really connecting and making personal connections through networking. And I think one of the great ironies in this world, we're hyper-connected. We have more ways than ever to communicate with each other. And yet the one thing that we're really craving is personal connection. And this book was really born of seeing people struggle with that and figuring out how they can make a personal connection.
Do you see this being generational at all, where you do have, I mean, heck, I know my son texts when his girlfriend's sitting next to him, and they have a talk through texting, or maybe they're doing it through one of the social apps. I don't know, but they mostly have conversations that way. You see it more and more. They're using, apps, they're using social media, they're using texting. They're not speaking to one another. So they would tell you they're connecting just fine.
Well, you know, they would tell you that, except for when they get into the dating world, there are some studies that are coming out now that kids in their 20s are actually having a really hard time dating because they're not used to that face-to-face conversation. As you said, they're used to really doing texting, and it's a really sad commentary when you go out to dinner and you see people at the table instead of having a face-to-face, eye-to-eye conversation, they're texting each other. And we went to go see my brother up in Chicago and had a really interesting experience. We went to a bar there called Guthrie's, and it's all takeout from the local restaurants, and the only thing they really provide is liquor. And the neat thing about it is you walk in, and there's just this wall of board games in there. And it's really a place for people to come in, to sit down, to connect with each other, to have conversation, to play, to have fun. And we did not see one cell phone out the entire time that we were there. And there was a line down the block when we left. It was just absolutely amazing. And you're starting to see some of these things pop up throughout the country. People just want to get back to face-to-face communication. How do you make that personal?
Well, you know, you wrote this book, obviously, and targeted women.
Yes.
So tell me why you targeted women.
Well, in a lot of the things that I've done work-wise and so on, what I've noticed is that women seem to have more of a confidence issue than men do. And so what we see is that they don't feel as confident in what they're doing. And even in the workplace, what we see is that there was a Harvard study that 77% of women, instead of thinking that connections can help them, information can help them, and all the things that networking brings to them, what they think is that keeping their nose to the grindstone and really working and doing a good job, which all those things are very important, but you have to let somebody know that your work is great, and otherwise you're never going to get ahead. And that becomes a real problem. Amy Cuddy is a professor down at Harvard, and she actually has the most popular TED Talk of all time, and she talks about a confidence issue, and she talks about power stancing and getting out there and sort of like Wonder Woman, you know, how they put their hands on the hips and so on, or you put your hands up. And then actually they're actually finding that even people who are sight impaired, who have never seen, if they win a race or they do something really wonderful, they automatically put their hands up or something to make themselves feel and look bigger. And there's actually the work that she has done, that Dr. Cuddy has done, shows that if you try to make yourself bigger and more confident, there is a surge of testosterone and some other hormones that actually, for 2 minutes, you just do these stances for 2 minutes, and you actually have that feeling of confidence. So so really, it's noting that women were not as confident as men. They tend to not speak up as often at work. If you're in a meeting, they don't put their hand up as much. They tend to finish their sentences with a question, and they're just not quite as confident, and that comes through. And I think that's one of the things that we need to work on as women in breaking the moral glass ceilings.
So you're an employer, you're dealing with these issues with your employees. Maybe they're not as confident, or they're not speaking up as much. Is this a problem for HR? I mean, really, does HR need to worry about how employees communicate that well? And what are the issues that they face?
Well, I think there's another study that's been done, and it shows that 87% of C-suite leaders, one of the biggest threats to their business that they perceive is the lack of engagement. First of all, you've got to find employees, then you've got to retain them, and you've got to engage them. And there have been studies showing that about 70% of employees are either actively or disengaged or actively disengaged. Now, you think about that when they come to work and they're just there for a paycheck. But you need people to speak to each other, to share information. You need innovation to take place, which means you have to have conversation with people. You have to be able to work on a team. You have to be a collaborator. And when you don't have engagement and you have those people checked out and they just become part of the wallpaper, it really makes your business suffer. So this is a terrible business issue, and one which a lot of businesses are really starting to address. There was actually a article in the Wall Street Journal recently, and they were talking about now that people who do small talk at work, so they may be talking about sports around the water cooler, whatever it was. They were sending emails about, let's just take a coffee break, whatever it was, to break down those communication barriers. Those people were actually much less likely to get laid off because management was perceiving them as those people who could take the information they wanted disseminated around the organization, the ones that if they had a message they wanted to get out, if they wanted to bring everybody along to an idea, and change management, of course, is all about bringing along people for new ideas. Those are the people that they went to and relied on. And so if they weren't a rainmaker, it didn't matter to them. They were very valuable to the company in other ways.
Well, networking is key. I've heard people say, I have plenty of people on LinkedIn. I'm connected on networking fine. So is that really a status to be looking at in terms of whether you connect well or not?
Well, you mean how many LinkedIn contacts? LinkedIn is a really interesting networking tool, but I think that LinkedIn is a wonderful resource for finding jobs, for connecting with people, for getting into the groups and becoming one of the contributors. Because one of the things about connect working is that your goal is to become a trusted advisor to the point where why would anybody go anywhere else? They have you as the resource for that information. And if you become part of the conversation in LinkedIn and you're helping other people to become successful, a rising tide lifts all boats. And that's what you're helping people to do. So the law of reciprocation says that if you help me, I'm probably going to help you. It's just our human nature is that we want to help other people. We don't want to owe people something. We want to make sure that we help our fellow man. And LinkedIn really provides a wonderful way for us to do that.
So it's an effective tool, but it's certainly not the full connection power. Right.
No, and a lot of that, with the connection, I have the Elevate principles, I call it. And the first one is to engage. And that means putting together a plan. Where is it exactly? First of all, you've got to have your goals, right? We always talk about goal setting. What is your goal? If your goal is a new position, then you need to know who is going to be hiring for that position and how do I get into the right room at the right time with the right person? So engaging someone, you've got to know where they are to be able to engage them. So the first thing is planning. The next thing is when you find those people, listen. So if you're on LinkedIn or whether you're in person, listen to what they're telling you. Be present and actually focus on what it is that they're saying. Don't think about what clever, witty lines you're going to come out with. You've got to be able to sit there and focus, listen to what they want. And not only listen, how are you going to be able to help them to be successful? If they're telling you about a business problem, how is it that you can actually help them be more successful? And in fact, there are cases of people getting jobs by coming to people and saying, well, David, what kind of problems do you have at work? Let me help you fix those problems. Well, wouldn't you want someone like that as an employee? I mean, those are the kind of things that are success stories. Exchange information, share your contacts, share your knowledge, and be generous with those things. Because a lot of people, knowledge is power, but knowledge in action is powerful. So if you share your knowledge, you're going to make a lot of people powerful. And again, that all comes back to you. Then you want to also become indispensable, providing a value. What is the value that you provide? When you have your elevator pitch, what is it you provide that no one else can provide? Because once you find that, that becomes your value, and that's why people are going to come to you. Another thing that I think we have to remember is our attitude. A lot of people don't make a choice to be happy, and being happy, being positive, being upbeat, being cheery, that is a choice. And even if you're in the worst job, you can make a choice to make a difference. You can be a janitor and you can be the best janitor in the world, but you have to make the choice to be that way. And it all comes down to attitude. Would you rather be in the room with an Eeyore that sucks all the air out of the room, or would you rather be in there with someone who's really positive? Then trusted advisor. You want to be the one that has the information. You're the go-to person that everybody comes to you. And so, for instance, if you're a wealth manager, you may not just manage their money. You may also have a connection at a camp that their children want to go to. You may know a good house painter. You may know somebody on a board they want to be on. So you become really the person. They're not just looking at you to manage their money. They're also looking at you for all the peripheral things that you can provide. And then on the Elevate Principles, the last E is for extend. And that really just means to follow up. So make sure that you always stay top of mind, because particularly if you're on LinkedIn and you're one of, 3,000 connections, you can't be, friends with 3,000 people. That's impossible, but you can stay top of mind. And by doing that, obviously you need to make connections with them all the time and seeing how you can make them successful.
You know, it's interesting. Your book is really about, as you put it, about you, right? It's about the individual. It's about your success, your happiness, your future. We're talking about individuals' personal choices that they make. It's really not the employer has to do this for you. It's you have to do this for yourself, for your employer, for your family, for your life in general, right? We're talking about personal choice.
Yeah, it's all personal choice. And whether you're doing it inside the office or outside the office, really, when you think about the connections, if you talk to anyone who's been successful inside or outside the office, they'll always tell you that, oh, I met so-and-so and they got me hooked up over here. Oh, that person gave me some information. Or if you're in the office, for instance, and let's say that your industry is in trouble, wouldn't you rather know people on the outside and get connected before you have to look for a job? So you want to make sure that you have connections in a wide array of interest areas. And the other thing it really does is it makes us better human beings, because you grow by knowing different people. You grow by listening to different opinions and different perspectives. Those are things that make you grow as a person. And then not only do you take that into your personal life, you take it into your family, you take it into your workplace, but you can also become a better member of the community, because then you can take that out. You can work for a board, a nonprofit, and you can take all those pieces of information and you can be a better person in your community as well. But it does come down to a choice. You can choose to be happy. You can choose to make a difference, or you choose not to.
You know, I got to tell you, Susan, I was looking over the book because it's a great book, well written, and it's simple and easy for people to understand.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the chapters in chapter on page 49, it talks about conveying your personal brand. You know, personal branding is always a challenge, and I think it might be a challenge for anybody. But you mentioned that it's sometimes a challenge for women. Why?
Well, I think one of the things we're taught as women, whether consciously or unconsciously, we really don't like to promote ourselves, and you're taught really not to do that from the very get-go, because doing something like that would really be promoting yourself, and it would be boastful, and boastful is not a charming attribute.
It's a guy thing.
Maybe, but it's not really a charming attribute in anybody, but particularly women, the way that we've been brought up. So I think it's much harder for women, but I think it really comes back to again, when we talk about planning. Our time is very valuable. We need to plan where we spend it, how we spend it, and so on. And part of that is deciding what your goals are and how is your personal brand, what it is about you that is going to make you successful. And so really, when we talk about a personal brand, we talk about going through and talking about those personal attributes that we have that we can move something forward, whether you're moving an organization forward, whatever it is that you want to do, what your goal is, and how is it that you uniquely can be that person that moves that forward. And then how are you going to convey that to somebody? So if I say I turn small talk into big business, everyone says, oh, really? How do you do that? So you really need to come up with your elevator pitch, which it could be one or two sentences, and it could be, a couple of minutes. But you need to do something that conveys what it is that you do well, that nobody else does, that makes you unique, and that really showcases your skills.
So let's talk about that for a minute. How does somebody come up with an elevator pitch that talks about who they are and what they are within a minute or two?
Well, I think it's real. Again, it's planning. You have to sit down. Winston Churchill said, and I don't remember the exact quote, it's in the book, but he said something along the lines, if you want me to talk for an hour, I can talk right now. If you want to talk me to talk for a half an hour, that's going to take me a week. But if you want me to talk for a minute, it's going to take me a month. It's very, very hard to take all the things that you want to say and distill that down into two or three sentences, which are the most important. And again, we get back to planning. When you have somebody, you're face-to-face, you have only a few seconds to make a good first impression visually, but you also only have a few seconds to make that impression if you're talking verbally. Whether that's over the phone and you're selling something and you want to talk to somebody who's buying your merchandise, or whether you're selling yourself on a job interview or selling yourself for a promotion. And let's remember that everybody sells something. So I used to be in hospital sales, and nurses would tell me all the time, oh, I could never do what you do. I said, gosh, you do what I do every single day. You're selling care plans to your doctors, and you're selling your care plans to your families and so on. You sell, you just don't call it that. So I think we have to get away from selling being a dirty word, and we look at it as, how am I promoting my brand?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, only you are an expert about yourself.
Exactly.
That's it. So you got to make sure it gets out there. You know, one of the things I think is a very useful chapter on page 88 talks about survival skills for the shy. We do have holidays coming up.
Oh, yes.
You know, holiday time, the fun times for holidays. But for individuals and women, men, doesn't really matter in this case, these can be very trying times for them, especially if you have a shy personality, if you're introverted, if you're somebody who doesn't really like that networking thing, quote unquote, the networking thing. And you're invited to parties, you're invited to go somewhere, and sometimes you feel like you have to go because, you know, it's the boss said that we really need to be at this event. So how do you handle that?
Well, I think let's first of all start with from the woman front. And a lot of women tell me that they have a really hard time, you know, connect working. They have to walk into a group of women. They don't like that. You know, we go to the bathroom in Paris, for goodness sake. So we don't like walking into a room by, by ourselves. But you know, when I talk to them, I ask them, well, when you go to a party with your husband and you come home and you say, hey, I saw you talking to John over there. And what does John do? And your husband said, well, I have no idea. You go, really? Okay, well, where did John go to school? How am I supposed to know this information? And meanwhile, you were talking to John's wife. You know where they met. You know who her hairstylist is, why the house is on the market down the street. You know all the stuff about them. We're much better at connect working than we give ourselves credit for. So when we go into parties, I think we should remember what our strengths are, and that we're really, really, really good at picking up on things that sometimes men don't do. When you look at a newscaster, for instance, in the morning, or let's say, you know, someone's doing the weather. So you might just say, oh gosh, it's going to be cloudy today. Meanwhile, we're looking and saying, I love her hairstyle. That dress would look great on me. Those earrings got to go. We sit there and we size everybody up. But when you think about it, those are things that you can have conversations about, right? So you walk in the room. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had. Oh, wow, I love those shoes. And all of a sudden, this whole conversation ensues just because you've found a commonality with a woman, because that's how we roll. We try to find commonalities and you build a relationship from there.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, this absolute truth, and I'm smiling over here.
Because you're relating.
Because I'm relating to it, and I'm thinking of my wife, and yeah, all of that's absolutely true, no question about it. And I do think that, it's true, that women are more observant than men, and certainly in a micro way, they're more detail-focused. That's not always the case, but in a lot of cases, that's very true. And I do find out that probably she knows more about the conversation that I've had with someone, and she's talking to the spouse, than I would ever know about the person. But there are social norms too, right?
Yep.
There are business norms. And I think part of that challenge at a holiday party is, where can you really talk about? What should you talk about? What shouldn't you talk about? So give me some ideas and thoughts around that.
Well, first of all, I don't think it's a good idea to drink or at least drink to excess.
Well, and then I'm not going.
And that's probably one of the first rules of, you know, when you're in business, you are on. It's like going to a trade show. It's like doing anything else where you're representing your company and yourself and your own brand. So I think it's important to us to remember that what we're doing here is we are going in as business people. It's not the same kind of party you might go to as with your friends. So that's important to remember. The other thing to remember is, when you're going in, again, you're building your personal brand, or you want to talk to people. And if you're shy, or you're talking to somebody who's painfully shy, and you think, gosh, I'm really exhausting the conversation here. One thing you can do is you can go in and you can put them at ease. My husband is a lawyer, and he has an utterly charming way to me of going in and putting people at ease. They say, "Oh, Brian, what do you do?" And he says, "I'm a lawyer, but please don't hold that against me." And everyone starts laughing, and they all come out with their horrible lawyer stories. So it breaks the ice, and it's a conversation starter. You could also say something like, "You know, I'm a nurse. I'm a nurse. Well, what does that tell me about you? Okay, great. Well, we'll move on to the next topic." Or you could say, "I'm a nurse at May Medical Center, and we've really seen a lot of sports injuries this year." Well, there you go. You've just opened yourself up to a whole different line of conversation. You can go on the medical side. You can go on the sports side. You can, what are the reasons? So I think when you come in, you have to be a little bit, prepared when you come in about what you're going to talk about. You can always break the ice by talking about I know it sounds silly and trite, but the weather. Where are you going on vacation this year? The other thing I've always found, and again, I know this sounds really funny, but talking about dogs or pets, because those are really precious to people. And I couldn't tell you how many people I've really enjoyed meeting through my dogs when I walk them every morning. I've just had a lot of great conversations with that, but it breaks down those barriers. And the whole idea is to break down barriers, that you're building a personal connection. It's not just a business connection, but now you're getting to more of a personal relationship. And if you're shy, it's really painful to have to do something like that, or it's very painful as an outgoing person to talk to a shy person and try and get that information, get them to talk.
You feel like you're pulling it out of them. Yeah.
You do. But if you talk about something that they're excited about, it's amazing how animated they can become. And I know there was one person one time I talked to, and I thought, gosh, I don't know how I'm going to talk to this person. And all of a sudden, he started talking about gardening, which I had no idea he was a vegetable gardener. He was off to the races. So I think that half of the trick is just find something that they're really interested in. And again, don't talk about yourself. Talk about what they're interested in, because nobody wants to, hold court with a bore. You're always looking, okay, how am I going to go over and get I've got to get a drink. I got to get out of here. But if you talk about what's interesting to the other person and make them feel like the most important person in the world, all of a sudden, to them, you will be the most important person in the world.
And that is great advice. Susan, thank you for being on the show. Where
thank
can somebody get
me.
Your book?
They can buy it through Amazon. They go to Connect Working. They can go on to the website. My business is called the Connect Works Academy, so they can go to theconnectworks.com and they can purchase it from there as well.
Or they can go right to the HRPowerHour.com. We will have a link directly to that book for them and directly to you. Susan, thank you for being on the show once again.
Thank you for having me.
And I understand you have another book coming up later. We promise we'll get you on for that.
I'll look forward to it.
And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. Are you attracting candidates on the go with a complete mobile experience? Did you know that 86% of job seekers use mobile devices for job seeking? Reduce candidate drop-off and showcase your employment brand by adopting mobile-optimized responsive design technologies. Provide candidates with a consistent application process, whether they are on the computer, phone, or tablet. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.